We know, of course, what actually happened as a result of Gorbachev's efforts. His reforms encouraged a loosening of bonds throughout the system. Within the Soviet Union, people began indeed to speak openly about the problems and openly about solutions, about the need in particular for a more democratic, a truly market-oriented system, not just modest reforms in managerial responsibility. In Eastern Europe, where Gorbachev also encouraged reforms and where discontent with the system was in many ways even higher, it led to a wave of popular revolutions that swept communists out of power in 1989. In 1990 and 1991, the Baltic states in Georgia, where discontent was also high with its subjugation, the subjugation of these states to the Soviet Union, here these states demanded total independence in order to go their own way. And even in Russia itself, the Russian Federation, the center and core of the Soviet Union, a radical reformer, a man who continued to criticize Gorbachev as going too slow, Boris Yeltsin, was elected president of Russia. Now, conservative communists, convinced that Gorbachev was to blame for all this disintegration of the system in Russia and abroad, decided the time had come to act. They, in August of 1991, arrested Gorbachev and seized power, what became known as the putsch. Resistance to this coup, which included dramatic moments of Boris Yeltsin standing on a tank, a swearing defiance against the conservative communists, led to its failure within a matter of days. And in the wake of this coup against Gorbachev and his reforms, the Russian government, led by Yeltsin, banned the Communist Party in all of Russia, joined other republics that were at that moment quitting the USSR altogether, leaving the Soviet Union nothing but an empty shell, which would be abolished in December of that year. In fact, on Christmas Day of 1991, Gorbachev, now essentially president of a country that existed only on paper, a country that existed in, as it were, virtual, not physical space, recognized the inevitable and resigned as head of the USSR. This is a dramatic story, an important story for the world, but no less fascinating is the story of the man who stood at its very center, Mikhail Gorbachev himself. And what this lecture tries to do is understand this man, what he was trying to accomplish, what ideas motivated him, and also why he failed, by looking closely at his values and his ideas. My source, I should say for this, are his own writings, his own speeches, which are plentiful with indications of where he was going even before he came to power, and then certainly after he became head of the party and then government after 85. First of all, to understand Gorbachev, it's necessary to understand his historical type. He was, and indeed in many ways still is, a characteristic true believer. Now, every society, of course, has its own official version of itself, what might be called its sustaining myth. These are the ideals by which a country defines itself. In the United States, for example, it's democracy and individual freedom and equal opportunity. This is our official version of what we stand for. The USSR had also an official version of itself, that it was the most democratic country in the world, the most just, the most humanistic, the most economically dynamic. Also, in every society, there's a certain discrepancy between these sustaining mythic ideals, this ideal about what the society should stand for, and real everyday practices, between ideal and reality. Needless to say, in the Soviet Union, this gap between ideals and reality was a yawning chasm. However, also in every society, there are people who find these ideals so powerfully meaningful, they can't tolerate any hypocrisy. They can't tolerate duplicity. Gorbachev and many of the people who were associated with him in his reforms was just such a person, a true believer. He took his country's official values, especially what it said about socialism and what it should mean, so seriously he wished them to be real. And this true belief was his source of both his reforming zeal, but also in many ways It was part of the reason he was unwilling to let reform go too far, in order to undermine the socialism he truly believed in and was trying to make more vital.